You got the power to let power go. No one man should have all that power.
Welcome to the Athletics Rank and Overreact podcast. I'm Zach Harper. That's Wazzy Lambre, the cultural anthropologist of The Athletic, who has his new style rankings out this week. Waz, before we jump into the power rankings and more importantly the power ranking comments, what is the theme of the style rankings this week? Who's the one that's shining?
I mean, unfortunately, it's Westbrook and James Harden in that ridiculous GQ spread.
Oh no!
Where like these dudes, they really have no like sense of self awareness, like at all. Like I think there's a way to do that shoot where you're basically spoofing yourself. And you're spoofing the idea of NBA style and like, all right, we kind of take this a little bit too serious at times. So we're going to get silly and have fun with the outfits. But no, like, these dudes had a theme and they legitimately thought they were killing it. And it's patently ridiculous.
Waz, when does this work out for the basketball players that do never. This around this time?
Never.
Never.
Never. And I mentioned it in the piece. I was like, you know this stuff is going to get memed to death when they inevitably flame out in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be all over social. It's going to be fun. And I think the coolest thing, Zach, how we know these guys are basically clueless about all of this, that GQ actually has an accompanying video. Where they, you know, they quiz Westbrook and Harden about different outfits that they worn and Westbrook about different things that have gone viral in the past. And just, you can tell by just how these dudes talk about this stuff, like, they have no idea what they're doing.
They're in it.
But they're so sure that they are the coolest people that have ever lived. Sure. And it's just kind of hilarious, man. So that was the unifying theme, and you know, everybody and people were on vacation last week. I wanted to try to find a way to incorporate Kawhi wearing his own jersey in Cabo, but TMZ kind of broke it, and you know, I didn't want to use like TMZ photos and watermarks on the site. So
I do the same thing though,
Waz, but I wanted to incorporate that so badly.
Yeah, I would wear my jersey everywhere.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
You worked that hard and you became that good at basketball.
Dude, Zach, part of like trying to dress nice and do all of these things is communicating to strangers that you have your life together and your stuff together.
Right.
Right. In Kawhi Leonard's case, like, I'm famous, I'm rich, you all know it. I don't need to prove anything.
No, he doesn't need to prove anything. And on top of that, remember when Quintel Woods gave his playing card to an officer who had pulled him over?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, that's I'd do that too. That's my identification. Oh, I'm on this Topps playing card. Now give me an escort to my apartment. All right, the theme of the power rankings this week.
Upper deck card? That's ridiculous.
The theme of the power rankings this week was lineups that I want to see the rest of the season from every team. I'll be honest, Waz, it's a bit of a cop-out. It's just that's the easiest content I can come up with in a short week. You know, with the All-Star break and everything, it's not a whole lot to go off of. So I went with a bit of a cop-out.
Oh, you mean you just went to NBA.com stats and looked at the most underutilized lineups?
Well, not necessarily the most underutilized. There were like three teams where we hadn't seen that lineup at all. So I get to pontificate.
Oh, wow.
What could this look like if we do this the rest of the season, folks? But yeah, I went and tried to find what I legitimately thought were the most interesting lineups the rest of the season. But, you know. It's the easiest way to do the power rankings.
Hey, man, NBA took a break. The power rankings took a break.
Exactly. Yeah, you still got them. They're still there. You're still commenting. And if you leave a comment, maybe Waz will read it on this podcast and you get to, you know, tear my work apart.
So, seems like we've hit DEFCON 5 or is it 1? Which is the highest?
One's the
highest?
Worst. Yeah, okay, highest so one is 1. Yeah.
DEFCON 1 in Salt Lake City. And Jazz fans are, not optimistic about it. And by the way, you and I were both really bullish on the Jazz coming into this season.
Yeah.
Love their moves in the offseason, bringing in Bogdanovich, bringing in Mike Conley. I thought Donovan would make a, you know, would take a nice step towards superstardom. I'm still really high on Donovan Mitchell, but this stretch has been ugly, and they've been getting their asses handed to them. And so WS writes in, it's kind of sad how bad this Jazz team is playing. There was such high expectations coming into the year. Then Jesse H says, as a very optimistic Jazz fan, last week changed my mind on this team. Jazz will end in the 5-7 seed range. Ooh. How we play in the playoffs depends on matchups. Home court doesn't matter, honestly, as this team has no consistency either home or away. Just disappointing.
Goodness. Yeah, the whole I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
That seems to be where they are right now. And like, man, they... It wasn't even, like, the loss of the Rockets is whatever. Rockets are a good team. It's that they got destroyed at home by the Spurs.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, all right, you guys are in trouble.
And then you lose again to the Suns at home.
Ooh.
That's bad. And you're getting beat by 20-plus. That's bad.
Ricky Rubio had 7 steals.
Gobert is taking just straight up just plays where he's like, he dives to the rim. Feels like he doesn't get a proper look and then just kind of throws his hands up and recedes literally off of the court into the baseline.
That dude whines so much. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's a crybaby, literally. damn, that was a cheap shot. I shouldn't have did that. But yeah, it's looking pretty bleak over there, dude.
Whatever. He can defend himself. He's a defensive man. You know?
Jason C. says, you do know that 3/5 of the Bulls roster are injured, with Dunn being out the rest of the year. ? Are we really chalking up the Bulls' ineptitude to injuries this season? Is that really what we're doing? Particularly an injury to Chris Dunn? I'm sorry, did Chris Dunn become Isaiah Thomas overnight and I missed it? What are we talking about here?
Also, he's not out for the year. He's out for like 4 weeks, last I saw. So yeah, I'd like to see him in the lineup when they come back because he's the only defender they have.
And then, but see, like you know, there's always two sides to every coin, right? And then another Bulls fan writes in, and his name is Kept R, who says, I know this is based off records, etc., but you cannot tell me the Bulls are better than anyone.
Well, now, all so right, bad so this is the problem players. We have. The organization we have Cavs fans saying this. We have Pistons fans saying this, right? Like, Pistons someone's got to be the worst,
be
guys.
Something, though. Pistons fans might be
They're real close.
Something, though.
It's
nasty over there, and we're going to get into that. But, yeah, I think the Bulls are just, it's a mess. And we say this every week. The Boylan thing is a mess. The Garpax thing is a mess. The ownership situation is a mess. It's just really bad right now.
Yeah. And there's more than 4 weeks left in the season.
Speaking of the Pistons, Connor G says, the Pistons are close to earning the 30 spot, but they just can't get over the hump, Zach. What is it going to take?
You know what? I feel confident. Like, it's just going to take a little bit of competency from the Warriors. Like, that's all it's going to take, because the Warriors are stuck in that 30 spot right now. Yeah, but, you know, I feel like confident that once Steph's back, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Order will be restored. The Pistons will, you know, take back their rightful place as the worst team in the NBA this season. Jake C. asks a really interesting question. Are the Pacers the best worst team, or are they the worst best team?
Ooh, this is a good question. This is kind of what I always figured was the Ben Wallace corollary. Is that what the word
corollary?
Corollary.
Is
Ben Wallace the best good? You know, the best bad player or the worst good player? Right.
I think to me, I gotta go with the worst good team because I think the talent is actually there. Like, I actually believe in the talent level on the roster. So that's why I would say they're the worst good team. It's not like an OKC thing where I'm just like, you guys aren't that talented a team, you know. But you're playing, you know, above your heads right now, and we got to respect it and we love it. So I would put you in, you know, the best decent team category. Whereas Indiana, I think they're high-end talent, especially when you consider Oladipo and what he's capable of. you know, tops out as like, this is a good team, a good collection of talent they got.
Yeah, and I just think with Indiana, like, they're just a team that's trying to figure out how to get the pieces back together, right? Like, now everyone's pretty much, well, Jeremy Lamb just got done for the year, but everyone else is pretty healthy. You know, Oladipo's starting to get his legs back. Like, you know, Sabonis and Turner have played together a while now. Like, TJ Warren's good in that mix. Like, I, you know, Brogdon's obviously been excellent for this season when he's played. Like, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Like, I would say it's either them or the Thunder as the worst best team.
Okay. Sean G says, did you mean to put the Spurs at 16 and the Nets at 17? Did you mean to do that, Zach? Was that purposeful?
I swapped them at the last second. So whatever order they're in, they were swapped at the last second. I think I missed a line in there that would have made sense.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I two middling teams. I think the Spurs are
The tough thing is after 15, trying to figure out 16 to like 22.
Right, these like
because none of those teams are good.
Playoff kind of guys, but like on a night to night are so ridiculously inconsistent. It's tough to get a grasp of. Like the Spurs have had some of the best wins this season, right? Like where they beat quality teams. Remember when they just blew the Clippers' doors off that one game?
Yeah.
And then there's just other games where they're just getting waxed, and you just don't know what you're gonna get from them on a night to night basis. So it's tough to peg a team like that. And of course the Nets is the same thing, right? Like Kyrie's basically just been announced as done for the season. And so we're going to, you know, this is what they're going to be for the rest of the year. And we're going to get a sense of like who they are now that they know like Kyrie won't be back. Obviously KD was never coming back this season. It's tough to peg those kinds of teams.
Here's my question to you, Wuz, is now that KD and Kyrie are definitely both out for the entire season, right? Do they have to keep playing DeAndre Jordan, or is that just like a my friends on the court I get to play kind of thing?
I think the DeAndre thing will probably be done for the rest of the season. And you know, he's an older guy; he doesn't need to get a crazy minutes load. But yeah, that's a hilarious thing, the DeAndre thing. DeAndre is like the Kentavious Caldwell Pope of this team. Except Kentavious Caldwell Pope has actually been good this year.
Yeah, he's actually contributed. Like he had a rough first month, and now he's been pretty solid since.
Pretty solid for them.
Terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Thomas O says, put some respect on Tice's name. #WarrenTice. That's just that was just me adding that.
He's a replacement level big man. They need more than him to be a deep threat in the playoffs. Like he's fine.
He's
not bad, but he's nobody you want.
He's not like Dexter Pittman on the Big Three era Heat. You know, like it's not like he's not like or Eric Dampier or something like that.
Right,
but like,
exactly.
Let's not pretend that he's Ralph Sampson either. Christopher P says that, and this is probably my favorite type of comment, like the vaguely threatening comment. Christopher P says, no respect for the Thunder, .. Keep doubting them.
I put them 12th?
The threat, though, like, what's the threat here? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, keep doubting them or what?
I don't understand what's being done there with the mildly ominous just like undertone. Like, excuse me, sir.
I put them 12th. Is that an insult?
No, it's not.
Like if it is, I could be wrong on this. I thought, this is a top 12 team. Is
6 or 7 best team in the conference. I don't think many people expected this coming into the year. They're a great story. It's a great, you know what? It's a great story for me personally, as somebody who gets annoyed by the sort of narrative that if you're not competing for a championship and not basically processing it up with a bunch of G leaguers and losing on purpose, you have no purpose in this league. And I just patently disagree with that. I bet you OKC's fans are over the moon getting to watch a competent basketball team on a nightly basis, right? Like, you have a chance to win and be in every single game, and you get to watch excellence, man. Like, these guys are playing their ass off on a night-to-night basis. And I'm sorry, 48 win basketball is still an enjoyable team and experience to watch.
Absolutely.
Even the Clippers of last year, their fans really enjoyed watching that team scrap it out every night. Obviously, they're really happy that they have Kawhi Leonard now and Paul George, and they're topping out as a championship level type of team. But I just hate the idea that we would poo-poo, you know, competent basketball just because you're not chasing a championship and you're not putting yourself in position to draft the next Zion. I just love this story out of OKC this year.
Yeah, and they're 12th. Like, I don't who all right, I put here's the next three teams above them, right? Philadelphia, Utah, Miami. Like, do you think the Thunder are better than any of those teams?
No, and I don't think you would say that talent-wise that they're in the same. I think maybe Miami, you can make the argument that they're in the same sort of ballpark talent-wise, but I don't think so.
Yeah, and I even put this in the Thunder thing. I almost moved them up another spot or two, but I just don't believe that they're better than Philadelphia in the big picture, they're especially not. If Simmons is fine with the back issue.
They're not.
What are we doing?
They're nowhere close to Philly. Give me a
who break. Left that comment?
Christopher P.
Christopher P. Like Christopher P. U. That shitty comment.
Abto H. says, I always think back to before 2013-14 when the Raptors were so freaking trash. Whenever we'd go on a little three-game win streak or something back then, and I'd get mad at, and they'd never be ranked higher than number 20 in any power rankings. These past 7 years have been crazy fun, and watching them be among the top of the league consistently warms my heart. Don't worry, bottom dwellers. I promise you it'll get better, except for you, Knicks fans. I just can't bring myself to lie
goodness.
To you, folks.
Oh, come on, man. They got enough to go through right now.
But I think, but I think the lesson is an apt one, right? For most franchises, this stuff turns around. I think if you're in Chicago, Detroit, even a Charlotte, you've been in prolonged, sort of stretches of ineptitude and incompetence and just a dreary outlook. But I think, you know, the Raptors are proof.
It's ownership though, right?
Yeah.
You believe
Minnesota.
Mike? You believe in Mike? You believe in Glenn Taylor? Mm. Tom Gores? Mm. Reinsdorf? Like, when have the Bulls been, other than like a couple of Derrick Rose years, when have the Bulls ever mattered without Michael Jordan?
They haven't. They never did.
Right.
There's no proof of it. There was the baby Bulls, Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry situation.
And that team wasn't even that good.
And the post D-Wade, Jimmy Butler stuff. And even the Jimmy Butler was messy and disastrous at the end. So,
yeah
it's been bad. But, yeah, I think... I like the idea of fans being hopeful that things will one day turn around and be in their favor, though.
I don't. Accept your fate.
Okay, Owen H. says, can't really decide whether to be happy or sad about the Kings being ranked 18th, which is super high for us. That means Vlade will probably stick around longer now, but hey, wins are wins.
They've been good lately, man.
He threw up the shoulder shrug Kanye emoji. They have been good.
Yeah.
And they were and that performance at Staples the other night against the Clippers was amazing to watch.
Yeah. That was the lineup they closed that game with was the lineup I chose to go with just because watching that game I was like, "Oh, all right, I'm interested in this lineup." The De'Aaron Fox, Bogdanovich, Bazemore, Harrison Barnes, Harry Giles.
I love their young guys. Like obviously it's easy to love De'Aaron Fox, but I think Bogey is like a really impressive player. Super excited to see what he does. I think they freed up some cap space during the trade deadline to make sure that they could re him up this summer in restricted free agency. I'm huge on Giles. I just love his skill set and what he brings. I'm not as crazy about why am I blanking on the old guy's name?
Harry B?
No, not Harry B. The guy with the fake birth certificate.
Oh, Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield. I'm not crazy about Buddy Hield. I think it's weird that he's now coming off the bench right after signing a contract that pays him as one of the higher end shooting guards in the league. But I'm a fan of their young core, and I think they're going to be fine going forward. So long as, you know, development, they develop in a way incrementally that would be expected of guys of their talent and their age.
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust the leadership of this team, but, you know, moving forward. And I think that, you know, they struggled a lot with expectations this year for various reasons, and it's just another coaching change that they went through. And so I don't know that I feel confident that they'll give Luke Walton an extended runway here, but I like a lot of the components on that team. They're going to have to pay Bogdanović this summer, though, even in restricted free agency. That dude is,
yeah, he's hoop. So good. All right. And our last comment, because Zach, there's always one. Evan W. laments, these rankings are trash. OKC just waxed Denver. What the F is Denver doing at number 6? And OKC at 12? Dallas isn't in a top 10 team. Jesus Christ on the cross. Might have to cancel my subscription over this bullshit.
You know what? How about this? I know I'm not supposed to say this. Jade, leave this in. Cancel it. Cancel your subscription. I'll sign somebody else up for it. I'll do a random drawing on Twitter. Cancel your subscription. I dare you. I dare you to do it. Like, over Denver being ranked 6th, Dallas being a top 10 team, and OKC being 12th, cancel your subscription over that. I will re-up someone.
Evan W., who, like, raised you, my boy? Like, all right, like, you know, you don't,
cancel
you don't
it,
like
man.
Zach's power rankings, but, like, are you just giving up on Frank Isola, David Aldridge, Marcus Thompson,
yeah,
Ethan Giles?
Give up on all of them because of that you're just gonna, 1 week's
rankings. You're
just
going to give up on John Krasinski? Like,
do it.
What is that?
Give up on him. Unsubscribe right now. I swear to God, do it right now. I'm going to go give a random person on Twitter a free subscription. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. This isn't, oh, I have codes. I'm going to pay a full year subscription. No discount. No nothing. Cancel your subscription.
All right, well, that's our comments for this week, Zach.
Get out of here, Evan.
No one man should have all that power.
Gonna rank, rank.
Power.
I'm gonna overrank.